As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got a breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Tuesday, August the 9th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, well, you're not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark Become Vocal Local to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access. Or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at BVLhost, as so many do, BVLhost at CenturyTel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96 out of Exeter, Mo, 65647. A big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStreamLive.com, all carrying the broadcast this morning, and thank you for doing so. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. All of our contact information can be found at the webpage, becomevocallocal.com, or the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. Gold rockets over $1,780 an ounce this morning as the global stock market plunge deepens. Investors piling into the bond market and pouring cash into banks. We'll talk about all of that in the market reports. Rumsfeld torture court. Yeah, it's coming up. TEPCO tallies losses. QE3 looms. The FOMC meeting today. Damn China. Well, we'll talk about China. The new world of Henry St. Simon, individualism, free markets, and the Baconian Society will come up in the second hour of today's broadcast. And throughout it all, of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into that market report for this morning. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Found gold trading up $27.30 at $1,744.50, folks. That's right. Wow. Opening in the middle of the $1,700 spectrum. I like it. Silver off $1.07, going the other way at $37.96 an ounce. Platinum up $21. Now gold is above platinum at $1,734 an ounce. Palladium up $20 at $734. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, hang on to your hats. $1,732 even for a low, $1,780.80 for a high, but at $1,744.50, your gold is up year to year, $544.80 for a 45.35% return on your investment in Aurum, that precious noble metal. The London gold fix this morning, the boys in London trying to find a place in this rocketing mess. Picked the price at $1,770. Went above that, then it went below that. Where it'll close today is anybody's guess. The SPDR gold shares overnight picked up 23.62 metric tons in their electronic trader chest this morning, claiming to hold 1,309.92 metric tons, valued at these spot prices at $71.3 billion. Keep your eye on that spider on the corner of the web. Deep hands. Big hands, deep pockets. Yeah, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the meadows of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, August the 9th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming in our first hour of today's two-hour broadcast, we come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, Oracle Broadcasting, of course, .com. Back into that market report, close it out for this morning again. Wow. Active trading out of New York City at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time found gold trading up $27.30 an ounce at $1,744.50. I know. Some people don't like gold and silver. They probably don't own any either. Silver off $1.07 this morning at $37.96. Platinum up 21 at $1,734. Palladium up 20 at $734 even. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, big spread today. We've been saying this for months and months and months. One of these days, we're going to see $50 and $100 jumps in gold during the same trading day, and we're seeing that now. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,732 even for a low, $1,780.80 for a high. At $1,744.50, your gold is up year-to-year, $544.80. For a 45.35% return on your investment. Again, the boys in London set the price at $1,770. You can find their website. I think it's still up at lbma.org. LBMA, the London Bullion Market Association. Again, the SPDR gold shares, big move, piling into the exchange-traded funds. 23.62 metric tons added to SPDR gold shares overnight. Again, they claim to be holding 1,309.92 metric tons, valued at $71.3 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday took another major thrashing, down 635, at closing at 10,810. The NASDAQ off 175, closing at 2358. And the S&P 500, not to be outdone, off another 80 at 1,119. Crude oil this morning bumps up 66 cents and $81.97 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. You just divide it out, 42, 81.97 divided by 42, and then go look at the pump and see what's happening on the gas prices. U.S. dollar index this morning off 38 basis points at 74.46. You know, Bob Chapman thinks it's going to go down to 61.18 one of these days. Well, will it? I don't know. Foreign exchange rates, of course, are impacted every time there's a move in the U.S. dollar index. This morning, the Canadian loonie, losing some of that gleam and shine that it's had for so many months, up 10 basis points, but exchanges against the U.S. dollar at parity, $1 for U.S., $1 Canadian. The Mexican peso holding on for dear life to the 8-cent peg, pairing off a penny over the last couple of days, down 27 basis points this morning. The multiplier there is 12.3702 pesos per dollar, just barely 8 cents a pop, okay? So the euro this morning up 65 basis points at $1.43. The British pound virtually unchanged at $1.63. And the Swiss franc, another strong move in the Swiss franc, up 187 basis points this morning, $1.35. U.S. I'm not sure that's not going to make the people in Switzerland happy. The bond market this morning, the yield on the U.S. Treasuries bonded indebtedness is at 0.27%, climbing up a little bit from yesterday. The 10-year at 2.39 and the 30 at 3.70 as people pile into the bonds. The mortgage market this morning, the 15-year fixed-rate mortgage, the national average, moves down from 3.69% a month ago to 3.50 this morning. The 30-year moves back down from 4.55% to 4.33, and your prime rate is at 3.25%. That's what you're looking at about 40 ounces of silver pick you up an ounce of gold at these prices. Want to make a quick note, over the weekend past, I had the opportunity of traveling over to Mountain Grove, Missouri for the 11th annual Ozarks Conference on Property Rights. The Ozark Property Rights Congress had their annual meeting. Had a very, very strong turnout there, about 250, perhaps more people than that. Had an opportunity to meet one of our listeners, longtime listeners, Fritz. Fritz from Missouri was there. Got a chance to share information and ideas and topics, et cetera, and so on. Other people he brought along with him. But overall, it was a great meeting. Had a chance to listen to the first time I've ever had a chance to listen to Sheriff Mack in person, watched his presentation. He and I have basic foundational issues, but nevertheless, he was there, and a lot of people were interested in what he had to say. But for all that made the journey, I thank him for doing so. I hope everybody had a safe journey home. I know that we had a great conference, a great lunch, and a great dinner. So that's the way that conference went down. It was really a lot of fun, actually, to see people that you only see once or twice a year. And to see them all together in one place gives you a little bit of hope that there are people still have their heads heads looking in the right direction. Property rights is where she's at. Yesterday wasn't much happening in the markets. Just kind of skimmed over that this morning. The Small Business Optimism Index is out. The ICSC Goldman Store Sales is out. Productivity Costs and Redbook. We'll go to all of that. This afternoon, the Federal Open Market Meeting announcement is going to come out, and I'm sure everybody is going to count every sentence and every comma and every period in that. Tomorrow, the Mortgage Bankers Purchase Apps will be out. Of course, on Thursday, we'll get jobless claims again. Retail sales and consumer sentiment and business inventories will be out on Friday, so there's still a lot happening this week. Let's go into that Small Business Optimism Index right off the Econoday website. They're looking at, these are just numbers here, but they were shooting for 90.8 prior. They got an 89.9. What does it mean? The Small Business Optimism Index fell for the fifth straight month in July, down 0.9 points to 89.9. Details show declines in economic expectations, job openings, future sales, and future credit conditions. So small businesses, not exactly optimistic. The ICSC Goldman store sales, they were showing a prior minus 0.3 week-to-week change. Year-to-year sales was 4%, and they had a minus 0.5 and a 3.6 for actual. So those numbers came in lower than anticipated as well. Here's the highlight. Increased economic uncertainty led to a pullback in discretionary spending, according to the ICSC Goldman, whose same-store sales tally fell 0.5% in the August 6th week. All right? People don't have any money in their pocket, and whatever money they do have in their pocket, they're not buying cheap Chinese plastic crap. They're looking to save their money for as long as it's worth something. Productivity and costs, okay, when workers are productive, when companies have higher productivity, it's either because they brought in more machinery and got rid of the laborers, or the laborers are doing more than they would ordinarily do. They had a non-farm productivity was 0.3, and the unit labor costs 2.2. Here's the highlight. Second quarter productivity fell 0.3% versus the downwardly revised 0.6% in the first quarter. And they're always revising these numbers, so don't chisel them in stone. They're going to change tomorrow. The decline reflects weak second quarter output. Lots of reasons for weak second quarter output. One of them is they've got nothing to do, so they're trying to hold on to employees so that they don't jack up the jobless claims, and everybody's just kind of walking around polishing the equipment. Anyway, unit labor costs rose 2.2% in the second quarter versus the first quarter's upwardly revised 4.8%. Though these are higher readings for labor costs, focus of the Federal Reserve right now will be on improving their economic growth. So we'll see about that. But again, productivity is not always indicative of a strong economy. Red Book, tax holidays in 11 states, and the demand for seasonal goods gave a boost to retail sales in the August 6th week. Tax holidays, a minor boost in retail sales. We'll be right back.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where after thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Well, it's got to be my favorite story this morning. Andrew Harris writing this one for Bloomberg. Rumsfeld must face torture suit by the U.S. Okay. Former U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld must face a lawsuit filed against him by two American men claiming they were wrongfully held and tortured by the U.S. forces in Iraq. Oh, boy. I sure hope this is a crack in the dam. The U.S. Court of Appeals in Chicago yesterday upheld a lower court ruling last year allowing the men Donald Vance and Nathan Ertel to pursue claims that Rumsfeld should be found personally liable for their treatment. Ertel and Vance, in a 2006 federal lawsuit, claimed they were taken into custody, held at the U.S. Army's Camp Cropper while working for Iraqi-owned Shield Group Security after reporting to the U.S. what they believed was illegal activity by their employer and American personnel. All right? Whistleblowers getting slapped here. We conclude that plaintiffs have sufficiently alleged that Secretary Rumsfeld acted deliberately in authorizing interrogation techniques that amount to torture, U.S. Circuit Judge David Hamilton wrote for the three-judge panel. Whether Vance and Ertel can actually prove that assertion remains to be seen, the court said. David B. Rivkin, a lawyer for the former defense secretary, criticized the court ruling in a statement issued by Rumsfeld's office in Washington. He said it endangers U.S. soldiers. Right. Lawyering up there, Rummy. Decision is troubling. Today's decision by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals is a blow to the U.S. military. Rivkin, a partner of Cleveland-based Hostetler, wow, LLP, said yesterday, this decision is troubling, particularly for the uniformed personnel throughout the entire chain of command who are defendants in this lawsuit. Having judges second-guess the decisions made by the armed forces halfway around the world is no way to wage a war. Well, torture's no way to wage a war either. I hope their fingers get burnt. Goldman Sachs says AIG Fannie Mae have threatened to sue over mortgages. This again off Bloomberg. Christine Harper writing new news. Goldman Sachs and American International Group, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are among companies that have threatened to take legal action against the firm over mortgage-related securities. Just a little chapter in the continuing saga of crime at the global banksters in New York City. A list of entities, which also includes the Federal Housing Finance Agency and insurance companies Allstate and John Hancock, quote, threatened to assert claims that the firm, in connection with various mortgage-related offerings, quote, close quote, New York-based Goldman Sachs said in a quarterly filing today, Goldman said it reached agreements with some of the entities to toll the relevant statute of limitations. Anyway, and they're trying to buy their way out of this on the side, it looks like. Goldman Sachs, the fifth biggest bank, U.S. bank by assets, was already facing all active mortgage-related lawsuits from companies and investors that the firm estimated had experienced cumulative losses of $485 million as of June 30th. The new potential lawsuits aren't included in that estimate or in the firm's $2 billion estimate of reasonably possible losses from lawsuits. They have to post this kind of a number to the SEC. AIG, the insurer rescued by U.S. bailouts during the 2000... AIG, might as well just say CIA. AIG, the insurer rescued by U.S. bailouts during the 2008 financial crisis, yesterday disclosed plans to sue Bank of America Corp. In that case, AIG alleges that Bank of America caused more than $10 billion in losses at AIG. Goldman Sachs reduced its estimate of reasonable possible lawsuits from $2 billion as of June the 30th to from 2.7 on March the 31st, according to its quarterly filing today with the Securities and Exchange Commission. So we'll just see how that one comes out, too. But there's lots of lawsuits pending against the big bankers by a variety of investors that they sold as toxic credit default swaps and all the rest of the stuff, too. Euro crisis may pack the U.S. banks with deposits they can't use. You ever heard of a bank not wanting money? You know, it's a fractional reserve lending thing. You deposit $10 today, they loan out 10 times that tonight. How can a bank refuse money? Well, they're not liking it. Bradley Keown and Dakin Campbell writing this one collaboratively for Bloomberg yesterday morning. The European debt crisis is poised to flood U.S. banks with something they don't want and can't use. More money. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. I'd dang near post my bank account on the line. If they want to deposit money with me, I'll hold it for them. Cash held by U.S. banks surged 8.4% to a record of $981 billion during the week ending July 27th. Cash held by U.S. banks. The Federal Reserve said in August the 5th report, that's more than triple the amount firms held in July of 2008 before the collapse of Lehman Brothers Holding Inc. almost froze bank-to-bank lending. Even more money may be deposited with the U.S. lend money. What is it? Money. Money, 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 money. Even more digits, I should say it that way, even more digits may be deposited with U.S. lenders if investors pull away from European banks amid concern the Greek debt crisis may spread to Italy or beyond, said Brian Spindley, a strategist at the Bank of America, Merrill Lynch in New York. Those funds may not be so welcome. With few opportunities to lend them out profitably, U.S. firms may have to slap fees on depositors to keep returns from eroding. Wow. They charge you to borrow money and they want to charge you to deposit money. It becomes a loser to hold these excess deposits, said Bert Eli, a bank industry consultant in Alexandria, Virginia. At the margin, they have to think, what can we do with $50 million of deposits? The answer is, not much. Well, go figure, huh? London riots prompt Cameron to recall the parliament as extra police are called in. Eddie Buckle writing this little note for Bloomberg. Prime Minister David Cameron recalled parliament from its summer vacation after police made more than 200 arrests in a third night of rioting in London and unrest spread to other British cities. Prime Minister speaking outside of his Downing Street office in London summoned an emergency session of the House of Commons for August the 11th. Okay, TEPCO's not out of the woods here, you know, Fukushima. Well, it's a continuing saga. TEPCO reports a $7.4 billion quarterly loss, but they say no chance of insolvency. This written by Tsuyoshi Inajima and Yuji Okada for Bloomberg New News. Tokyo Electric Power Company, also known as TEPCO, said it had a loss of 572 billion yen, or 7.4 billion U.S. as it took charges to pay for cleaning up its wrecked Fukushima nuclear plant and compensating people affected by the crises. 7.4 billion. The utility known as TEPCO booked charges of 503 billion yen as part of costs associated with the disaster. According to a statement released today, TEPCO in May announced a loss of 1.25 trillion yen, the biggest for a non-financial company in Japan for the year ended March 31st. The government, here's socialism at work, the government will set up a state-backed entity with 2 trillion yen of funds to back up TEPCO's compensation payments to those affected by the nuclear disaster. Trade and Industry Minister Banri Kaida said on August the 3rd, after we start receiving funds from the government-backed entity, there will be no possibility of liabilities exceeding assets, President Toshio Nishizawa told reporters at a news conference in Tokyo today. So, well, I guess the people of Japan are going to underwrite TEPCO. TEPCO will not go insolvent. They will pay their claims, and away it goes. Guinea, getting a little smarter here than those that are out there with Don Quixote's windmills and solar panels. Guinea, China, water, and electric hold talks to build hydro power dam. That's right, a hydro power dam coming to Guinea, brought into the news by their maid, Dominique Strauss-Kahn. We'll talk about this dam for China, or China dam, or just dam China, in a moment.
Listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And if you think that China's not moving in all over Africa, you'd be making a mistake there. Guinea again, China, water and electric holds talk to build a hydropower dam. Guinea, that's in Africa, and China, International Water and Electric Corporation, are in discussions to construct a hydroelectric dam as the country seeks to increase power generation, according to Energy Minister Papa Koli Kurumu. Wow, what a name that one is. Quote, at the moment, talks concern the costs, environmental management, and planning of the Kalita Dam. Kalita Dam, K-A-L-E-T-A, Kalita Dam. Kurumu said by phone yesterday it'll be located about 150 kilometers or 93 miles northeast of Conakry, the capital, he said. Conakry, the capital of Guinea. Guinea, the world's biggest bauxite exporter, that lets you know why China is there, has been turning to companies and donors to invest in projects to boost electricity output. the West African nation is reviewing the state-owned utility Electricité de Guinée and tariffs for power and water, according to a statement published June 30th on the website of the International Monetary Fund. In February, Kuruma said Guinea plans to spend $100 million to improve transmissions by upgrading the electricity grid that suffered from poor maintenance and financial shortfalls and corruption. Construction to the Kalita Dam should begin before December. Let's see, this is August. I guess their plans are pretty well drawn. And will have a capacity of 240 megawatts, Kuruma said. So 24/7, 365, hydropower, lots of water. A good move for Guinea and China. Gold tops a record of 1770 as investors seek haven from share and commodity rout. This by Tony Drybus and Madeline Pearson off Bloomberg. Gold advanced to records in London and New York as the global rout in equities and commodities deepened on concern the economic slowdown will worsen after the Standard & Poor's cut the U.S. credit rating. And there's lots and lots and lots out there in the blogosphere regarding all of this, but this is the take that, or the spin that Bloomberg has on its little top here. Bullion surged 24% this year. Of course, they're looking at a partial year, but it is right. We always like to look year on year. We've had $544.80 gain year to year for a 45.35% return. But yes, surging 24% just this year, headed for an 11th year of gains. As the sovereign debt crisis and a faltering economy boosted demand for the metal as a protection of wealth. Holdings and exchange-traded products backed by gold surged by 1.4% to a record of 2,216.8 tons by yesterday. Data compiled by Bloomberg showed an 11th straight day of gains. So we've had 11 years of gains and 11 straight days of gain as we move toward 11/11/11. Your eyes on that date, mark it on your calendar, and then go read the prospectus for the SPDR gold shares. The much-dreaded AAA downgrade did happen after all, but the broader market was already to an extent in a sell-off mode, pricing in sovereign default risk in the Eurozone and the U.S. Andy Krochenchikov, an analyst at VDB Capital in London, wrote in a report, quote, "The market remains well-supported, while macro concerns over the stagnant economic recovery and fears of further sovereign downgrades will keep the market on edge." Of course, all over MarketWatch this morning, New York Times or the New York Slime, they're talking about now's a great time to pile in, buy those stocks while they're at a record lows. Well, I don't know about that, but there is a possibility. Again, gold for immediate delivery rose $47.57 or 2.8% to 1767.10 an ounce at 10:33 a.m. in London, after gain as much as 3.5% to an all-time high of $1,780.10, making the metal costlier than platinum for the first time since 2008. Keep your eyes peeled on the precious metals. Global bonds gain $132 billion amid the stock rout. Where are people putting the money? Apparently, they're going into bonds. And cash, and piling the cash into banks and buying bonds. Sarah McDonald writing this one for Bloomberg. The worldwide retreat from stocks and commodities following Standard & Poor's unprecedented cut of U.S. Credit has driven the value of the global bond market to a record high. All right? So at a time where we're trying to bail out all the little pigs and the BRICS are harmed and everybody else is harmed by all of this, you know, global disaster in the finance market, the global banksters, the international gangsters are winding up having to buy a lot of the bonds. I guess people are going to be piling into the bonds now, looking for safety, looking for love in all the wrong places, if you ask me. But the market value of Bank America Merrill Lynch Global Broad Market Index has increased $132.4 billion since the end of July to $42.1 trillion. The most in data going back to 1996, while S&P said the credit worthiness of the U.S. was diminished when it cut the rating to a AA+ on August the 5th, treasuries have surged. The S&P downgrade of the U.S. shocked markets, particularly the equity markets, where we've seen an absolute bloodbath, said Jared Kerr, or Kerr, the director of Australia-New Zealand Rate Strategy at Credit Suisse AG in Singapore. The downgrade has the opposite effect on treasuries, where you've seen a, quote, Hell of a rally, he says. A hell of a rally. Well, here's another one. Rogoff, check this guy. I don't see him on the list of the Council on Foreign Relations, but Rogoff says Fed will embark on QE3, act decisively on economy. Susan Lee and Scott Landman collaboratively writing this one for Bloomberg. Federal Reserve policymakers are likely to embark on a third round of large-scale asset purchases. Large-scale asset purchases. Moving more decisively to secure the U.S. recovery, said Harvard University economist Kenneth Rogoff. Okay, going over to Harvard one more time, darling. Harvard. Quote, they certainly should do something right away, close quote, said Rogoff. You know, this is a real inbred, incestuous nest here. The United States government, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia, around and around, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, the Bonesmen, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so we'll just take this article with a grain of salt, but this is what he's saying, said Rogoff, a former International Monetary Fund chief economist who attended graduate school with whom? Fed Chairman Benjamin Shalom, I love Israel, Bernanke. It's hard to know if Bernanke would immediately be able to gain the support of Federal Open Market Committee members, Rogoff said in an interview today on Bloomberg Television. The FOMC meets today in Washington, a day after the worst day for U.S. stocks since December 2008. Bernanke last month outlined policy options, including additional asset purchases or strengthening the commitment to low interest rates after the first two rounds of so-called quantitative easing failed to keep the unemployment rate below 9%. So they're just throwing money into the system. Throw more money into the system. And throw more money into the system. But unfortunately, ain't no jobs. And as Vicki Davis rightly wrote, shared with you yesterday, we have a demand-side problem that they're trying to fix with a supply-side solution. Not exactly a wise tactic. Out-of-the-box policies are called for, especially more aggressive monetary policy, however unpopular that may be, said Rogoff, 58 years old, a former Fed economist who, like Bernanke, earned a PhD from MIT. The Fed is going to move more decisively, Rogoff said, and that's probably going to happen. Whether it'll have any powerfully positive impact or not remains to be seen. HSBC tops the list of the richest family offices as money firms manage jumps 17%. Now, the other day, we talked about George Soros going into giving back all the money that investors have given him. I guess they're getting out of their fund, and they're setting up a family office. Well, HSBC tops the list for these family offices. Anthony Effinger and Elizabeth Odey, writing this one yesterday afternoon for Bloomberg. Seth Abraham, he sounds like Irish Catholic to me, former president of New York's Madison Square Garden, has used the same barber for 37 years. I wonder how hardly he's used them. I followed him through the five salons, Abraham, 63, says. Abraham is equally loyal to his money managers, Sam Katzman and Paul Tramontano, who have looked after his assets for more than 15 years. When Katzman and Tramontano left Citigroup Inc., Smith Barney Brokerage Unit, now Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, in 2007 to form the Constellation Wealth Advisors LLC, Abraham also jumped ship. Again, Constellation is a family office, a luxe kind of financial advisor first established by the Rockefellers, the Guinness Brewing Family, and other dynasties. Family offices manage money, handle taxes, and in some cases, buy private jets, scout vacation homes, hire butlers, and drug treatment programs for wayward progeny. Bloomberg Markets Magazine reports in its September issue, the latest financial titan to set up a family office is George Soros. We'll be back with more of that and some of this right after this.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere. even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So just a little bit further here on this idea, this HSBC getting involved with George Soros. In July, his hedge fund, Soros Fund Management LLC, told clients it would, during the rest of the year, return money to all outside investors, amounting to less than $1 billion of its $25.5 billion in assets, and would then operate as a family office. All right, quote unquote, family office. Note it down, write it on your notepad. Single family offices are not required to register with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. All right, so this is the nice back door for those of you who got big money. These days, you don't have to be a Carnegie or a Soros to have a family office cater to your every whim. If you have as little as $5 million, who doesn't these days? Well, I guess some. You can take your pick of hundreds of multi-family firms. Constellation, with $4 billion under management, is tied with Pitcairn, based in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, for number 23 in Bloomberg Markets' first annual ranking of family offices, Constellation. HSBC is number one. The list, which ranks 50 firms by assets, is topped by HSBC, that's a Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, Private Wealth Solutions, a unit of the London-based HSBC Holdings PLC, private bank. Private Wealth Solutions oversees $102 billion for families in 18 offices around the world. All right? So these people aren't lining up for, you know, Wally World. These people aren't lining up down at Wally World. These people aren't going out to dine at Wendy's. these people live in a different lifestyle. Maybe you can too. Maybe not. HSBC, the world's local bank, looking at their website here. Who is HSBC? We are the world's local bank. Now, as globalism transitions from global to local, we need to block the globalist agenda right where we are in our precincts, our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states, right? And just say no to this nonsense. But they are the world's local bank, and I guess any place that HSBC is local to them. It's all localism, right? Headquartered in London, that would be the city. HSBC is one of the largest banking and financial services organizations in the world. HSBC's international network comprises around 7,500 offices in 87 countries and territories in Europe, the Asia-Pacific region, the Americas, the Middle East, and Africa. You want to talk about internationalists and globalists? Here you go. HSBC's history, establishment in early years. HSBC is named after its founding member. I guess his name was HSBC. Everybody just called him BC for short. No. It's the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation Limited, not Singapore, not Cincinnati. It's the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation Limited, which was established in 1865, just about the time that Abraham Springsteen was wreaking havoc on America, to finance the growing trade between Europe, India, and China, probably deep into heroin and cocaine there. The inspiration behind the founding of the bank was Thomas Sutherland, found that rather interesting, a Scot, who was then working for the Peninsular and Oriental Steam Navigation Company. I wonder if he's an ancestor of Peter D. Sutherland. I don't know. He realized that there was considerable demand for local banking facilities in Hong Kong and on the China coast, and he helped to establish the bank, which opened in Hong Kong in March of 1865 and in Shanghai a month later. Soon after its formation, the bank began opening branches to expand the services it could offer to customers. Although that network reached as far as Europe and North America, the emphasis was on building up representation in China and the rest of the Asia-Pacific region. HSBC was a pioneer of modern banking practices in a number of countries. For instance, in 1888, it was the first bank to be established in Thailand, where it printed the country's first bank notes. Well, that's the way that sort of stuff goes. I'm sorry to tell you. All right. Here's another one, closing out our news basket. Maine, that would be the state of Maine, quashes Wall Street negotiated debt deals, declaring no free lunch. No free lunch. Michael McDonald, writing this one for Bloomberg, I don't eat at Wendy's. Robert Lena, the Maine Municipal Bond Bank's executive director, said when asked why he and three other officials had dinners costing almost $4,000 with Wall Street bankers selling the state's debts. You ever been on one of those deals? You're buying something from a company, something, a high-pricey item, like a big piece of machinery, a Caterpillar tractor or something like that, and the salesman takes you out to lunch or dinner or to a casino or to, a whorehouse down the street. Lena's declaration made at an April 8th public meeting has laid bare a fight over whether Maine, again a state, where 12.6% of the residents live below the poverty line, should try to save taxpayers money by holding open bond auctions in place of these privately negotiated debt sales it has relied on for decades. Why do your school board always want to float another bond issue? Why does your mayor always want to float another bond issue? Maybe he's got recent experience or he's heard these great stories, all right? He wants to get in on a piece of this action. Maine's treasurer, that would be the state of Maine, treasurer Bruce Poliquin, who was endorsed for the post last year by the Tea Party-backed Governor Paul LePage, leaves no doubt that the way the state borrows money for public works must change. All right? Can you imagine that, folks? You're out there, you know, you're suffering under the high cost of water, sewer, garbage, the high cost of schools, education. And you find out when they're floating these bonds, The guys at the top are getting the free lunch, and it ain't free. You're paying for it. I do not buy the argument, quote, that there is a free lunch. Poliquin, who criticized Lynn at the April Bond Bank meeting, said in a telephone interview, quote, all of these expenses that are included in the price of the deal are paid for by the small towns in Maine through sewer fees or through water fees or local taxes whenever we borrow money for them. Just as Tea Party-backed officials upset Washington politics, their movement for fiscal restraint has spiked battles in state houses across the country. In Maine, where Republicans took control of the governor's office and legislature in 2010 for the first time in more than 40 years, the new treasurer is also reviving a decades-old debate in the $2.9 trillion municipal market over the way bonds are sold. And then they roll these bonds over, and they roll these bonds over. You can't ever seem to get out of debt. This is the model that the International Monetary Fund uses. Go back and visit with the book, John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and find out all about that. 80% private. Until 1970s, almost all states and municipalities sold bonds competitively, inviting sealed bids from bankers. Today, more than 80% of U.S. municipal debt is issued through negotiated deals with one or more banks, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. 80%. These private arrangements have led to side deals, such as Jefferson County, Alabama's failed sewer debt refinancing, that cost taxpayers and investments billions of dollars and may prompt the county to declare bankruptcy this week. Bankster gangsters? International bankers? Yeah. In competitive sales or auctions, banks offer issuers the lowest interest rate they can to win the business. In negotiated deals, a chosen banker agrees on fees and rates before the sale. The underwriter buys the debt and markets it to investors. Your local fire department, maybe, picking up one of these FEMA fire trucks, these big, shiny red Tonka toys for boys. 80% by Fed. 20% by you, the people. If you look at the bottom line closely, the cost of that fire truck is probably the 20% you were asked to pay. Banks, what happened to the other 80%? That's my question. Who gets that in their pocket? Banks promote negotiated sales as letting them offer the lowest cost by tailoring the debt to specific types of investors. Yet, academic studies of the municipal market show such sales often raise costs by as much as $4.80 on every $1,000 borrowed. Well, one last one here. Stocks fall, oil sinks, or should we say oil stinks. Stephen Kirkland writing this one for Bloomberg. U.S. index futures rose and treasuries declined before a meeting of the federal policymakers. European shares fell for an eighth day, the longest losing streak since 2003. And oil sank below $80 a barrel while the Swiss franc strengthened and gold rallied. That's about it for the market news. We'll be back for hour number two straight ahead. Stay tuned.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak's software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, August the 9th, 2011, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming at you live as we do Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. First hour of today's broadcast. If you missed it, you can always find it at the archives at oraclebroadcasting.com. You can also find a link to those archives at becomevocallocal.com or just jump in there now. Engage in our chat room discussion. If you'd like to call in through the broadcast, it's 866-841-1065. Your call is certainly welcome. You can also send ideas to me at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. All the contact information, show information can be found at becomevocallocal.com. A little webpage there that basically just warehouses the chat room. Anyway, back into our discussion of things. In the first hour, a variety of news. Now we're going to go into our discussion, continue our inquiry into the nature and the origins and the meaning of positivism. Positivism, what is it? What do we know? What can we learn about it? You know, I had this revelation back in about this time of the year, years ago, June the 30th and midnight of thereabouts of June the 30th and the morning of July the 1st, where I had this incredible two-part idea come to mind, that there's this all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law, that in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. And yeah, took a while to punctuate that sentence. Quite a thought. Rather profound. I had no idea what legal positivism was. I only had a bare understanding of natural law. I surely didn't have a firm grasp on statutory, or codified, or regulated, or licensable, or taxable privileges. After these years of studying, come to a little better understanding of that and found information in a variety of books. It just seems like the books fell into my hand. This one, Reason and Nature, I've shared a little bit out of this book, an essay on the meanings of the scientific method, written by Morris R. Cohen, published by Harcourt Brace and Company out of New York in 1931. I have the original right here in front of me. Where he says this, the subject matter of the social sciences, the distinctness of the word social, of course, August Comte, sociology, he coined the term, crowned it as the queen of sciences, to trump even philosophy. The distinctness of the word social and natural, isn't that interesting? Inevitably suggests that the subject matters denoted by them must be mutually exclusive. Yet, few seem willing to maintain such a sharp dichotomy between natural and social facts as to call the latter un- or non-natural. Social facts and the human beings between whom they take place are located in the physical time and space. Of course, one morning on Solveneur's broadcast, we got into that a little bit deeper, the idea of time and space. My take on that. Deprive these social facts of their physical elements or dimensions, and they lose their usual meaning and cease to have reference to anything existing. these reflections suggest that we must not conceive the social and the natural sciences as mutually exclusive. Rather, should we view them as dealing with parts of the same subject matter from different standpoints, whether you're in the dot in the center of the sun disk, as we see on the symbology, whether you're at the dot looking at the circumference, the perimeter of the circle, or whether you happen to be occupying one of the 360-plus divisions of the circle looking towards the center. We'll continue with that thought right after this.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again, referring to this very interesting old book, Reason in Social Science. This is off of page 334. This is a book written by Morris R. Cohen, Reason and Nature, an essay on the scientific, or on the meaning of the scientific method. You know, we talk about scientific socialism and things like that quite frequently here. Again, the social life of human beings is within the realm of natural events, but certain distinctive characteristics of the social life make it the object of a group of special studies which may be called the natural sciences of human society. So we go back to August Comte, coming up with this idea of sociology, a new science, where man becomes the object of scientific inquiry and figuratively is put into a petri dish and slipped under a microscope and studied extensively. That's where we find ourselves today in the positive stage of human development, in the petri dish being studied by the super social scientists. In any case, the empirical or historical fact before us is that many questions are clearly in both the physical and the social realm. And if we can remember our studies of the political science, we discovered that according to the political scientist that wrote the textbook that we studied out of, back in the archives there, over a year ago, that one does not ascend to the level of the human being unless they be politically socialized. Only the politically socialized transcend the state of natural brute beast and become human beings, according to the political scientist, anyway. In any case, the empirical or historical fact before us is that many questions are clearly in both the physical and the social realm. We may, if we draw a sharp line between physical and social anthropology, between physical and economic geography, and perhaps even between individual psychology as a natural science and social psychology as a social science. But the distinction is in any case a thin and shifting one. When we come to the study of linguistics, or of epidemics, or to the various branches of technology, we see the breakdown of all the sharp separations thus far suggested between the natural and the social sciences. Okay? So in the past, we talked about lots of things on this broadcast. No doubt about it. And we're going to continue with a little bit more here, but I would just like to repeat, and this is out of The Universal System, The Nature of Perfectibility, The New World of Henry St. Simon, written by Frank Emanuel, a Notre Dame publication, copyright in 1963, where we found the goal towards which mankind has been trending from the beginning was an enjoyment of terrestrial happiness through the satisfaction of its material wants, and an unending search for scientific facts and theories which would both stimulate new desires and appease them. Ultimately, the scientific truths would reveal to the administrators of society, they were hardly to be considered rulers, how to make sure that man remained mild, productive, scientific, unwarlike, and orderly internationalist. Human misery and unhappiness might not disappear completely from the earth, but as Condorcet said, they would clearly become the rare misfortunes rather than the common experience of the race. Interesting stuff there coming on us and at us. Let me jump over here. I think I have it marked. Let's see what happened to it. I wanted to get to that one. Let's see where it is. Let's see where we can get it. Well, I'm not finding it. I must have dropped my bookmark on the way to the radio table. Let's see. Got that. Got that. Well, that's darn. Yes, here it is. All right. To the Frenchman, the individual was moved by self-love, self-interest, and fellow feeling or benevolence in various proportions. Now, we've shared with you a little bit out of Light and Liberty, Reflections on the Pursuit of Happiness from Thomas Jefferson. And in the past, I was substituting one evening late on Mike Chambers' original broadcast. And we were asking, as kind of ran a contest, to see if anybody could tell us how the words, the pursuit of happiness, found their way into the Declaration of Independence. And at that time, I was embarked upon a study to answer that question myself. And lo and behold, after a lot of digging, I finally came up with this guy, Francis Hutcheson, a Scotsman and a philosopher. And he came up with this idea of beneficence, really, as the ultimate pursuit of happiness. Being more than just a good person, the book went on and on and on and talked all about the parts and pieces. But in the end, it's this beneficence is the pursuit of happiness. But here, both of these drives had in actuality helped to further progress. The love of glory or power, it's an aspect of self-love, would continue to be a strong motive force, and once comprehended, there was to Condorcet and to Saint Simon nothing deplorable in the fact that progress was dependent upon such passions. Now, in the past, I've talked about this, that, you know, really, ultimately, at the top of the heap, there's no tongue, no tribe, no creed, no tradition. When a man gets it in his heart to reach for power, you know, you can sate yourself on all the material things, you can have all the trinkets, and you can have all the accessories, and you can have your family businesses, etc., your family offices, and look for butlers and houses and Lamborghinis and Aston Martins. But ultimately, as Henry Kissinger said, power. Power is that ultimate aphrodisiac. And once you've sated yourself on all the material things in life, all your wants and needs have been fulfilled, perhaps intergenerationally, you start getting this lust for power. The love or the glory of power, an aspect of self-love, again from the book, would continue to be a strong motive force. And once you get that desire for power, you start reaching for that brass ring of power. As I've stated in the past, don't be surprised if you feel someone else's hand around your wrist, maybe in some kind of a Masonic grip, someone with their palm cupping your elbow, helping you to reach up. But as soon as your fingers touch that brass ring of power, it's like a magnet you can never let go. You're in for life. In itself, the love of power was neither good nor bad, unless it took on monstrous forms. And haven't we seen some of those monstrous forms, even in the White House today? What humanity needed was a good system and a sound doctrine, a social order, which would make it possible to channelize individual drives into paths leading to the good of mankind. Again, beneficence, the pursuit of happiness. Once the good social order, an organic, scientific, industrial society with a way open for all talents was established, individual capacities and faculties would naturally express themselves in ways beneficial or beneficent to mankind. We'll be right back.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
www.theoracle.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
Now, of course, the subject here is Henry St. Simon, and the time period is 200 years ago, precisely. And what we're doing is basically taking a look at the foundation that was laid for the Industrial Revolution, if you will. Henry St. Simon coined that term, industrial. We're blending into this, of course, the influence of Auguste Comte, also in this book discussed, but we're going to go into Auguste Comte in detail after we've gone through Henry St. Simon, the St. Simonians, because they created this idea, they started this idea, this notion that there were these three stages of humankind that we would go through, and that the final stage is right where we are today. And this stage will go on and on for as long as man stays on the planet here. Is able to exist. The first stage was where we were ruled by our priests and priest kings. The second stage is this metaphysical stage. And the third stage, the final stage of human development, is the positive stage. In the first stage, you're easily led astray by all the winds of doctrine and all of the puffery of the churches and belief systems. And in the second stage, you question all of those belief systems, and you question them in great detail. And then in the third stage, you transcend out of that, and everything becomes, there are no more absolutes, everything becomes relative, and you go into this scientific stage of human development, which is where we find ourselves today. But once again, the good social order, an organic, scientific, industrial society with a way open for all talents, was established. Individual capacities and faculties would naturally express themselves in ways beneficial or beneficent to mankind. This is the pursuit of happiness. Only if the social order did not provide for the satisfaction of basic desires would self-interest be manifested in destructive ways. Now, Auguste Comte was the one that came up with the term, coined the term altruism, to live for others. You can think of this as the greatest good of the greatest number, the philosophically radical thinking of Jeremy Bentham and John Stuart Mill and James Mill and John Austin and the other positivists in England. But again, there's a ways of beneficial to mankind. Only if the social order did not provide for the satisfaction of basic desires would self-interest be manifested in destructive ways. And we can see today where the gangsters have gone out on the limb trying to forcing us into the positive stage rather than allowing the positive stage to just develop. Forcing it in this lifetime, in their lifetimes, probably against the advice of their grandfathers, if they had survived. But we're in a time right now where self-interest, the gangsters, raping, robbing, pillaging, hoarding, etc., all right? their self-interest will now be manifested in destructive ways as the pushback occurs, blowback. Man's essential nature remained the same, but whether his manifest nature was benevolent or vicious depended on the order of society. Okay, order out of chaos. The Germans were primarily moral preachers to individuals wrestling with their refractory natures, which were obstructing the manifestations in time of that human perfectibility predestined by God and history. Condorcet and St. Simon were first and foremost social reformers with systems, organizers of progress, growth, and change. All right? Progress, growth, and change. Let me talk a little bit about power. Let's lay it on this way. Thomas Jefferson, again, from the chapter Truth Seeking in this book by Eric Peterson, where we find on page 113, the most effectual means of preventing the perversion of power into tyranny are to illuminate, and these are from the private letters and correspondence of Thomas Jefferson, as far as practicable, the minds of the people, all right? To illuminate the minds of the people. It is an insult to our citizens to question whether they are rational beings or not, and blasphemy against religion to suppose it cannot stand the test of truth and reason. Light, the mason scratching at the door of the lodge, always seeking more light. Light and liberty go together. We've gone into liberty in the past. I'll spare you today. I look to the diffusion of light and education as the resource most to be relied on for ameliorating the condition, promoting the virtue, right, that's Francis Hutcheson, and advancing the happiness of man. Now, throughout his writings, you're going to find happiness, 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 happiness. It's all over the place. Enlighten the people generally, and tyranny and oppressions of body and mind will vanish like evil spirits at the dawn of the day. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. No nation is permitted to live in ignorance with impunity. And so we find ourselves at a time now where we have been consistently and deliberately dumbed down. We've talked about this core curriculum, and Robert Mueller in the Advance of the United Nations, and Charlotte Isherby has written mightily in her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, and so many others have contributed to our knowledge base on all of that. We understand that this is a deliberate dumbing down, all right? But we will not live free with ignorance. We're going to have to rise above that. And if we want to be the replacement set so desperately needed as we're moving forward here, and it's going to be up to you and it's going to be up to me, it's going to be up to us to raise up our understanding of things and get the big picture, stepping outside of the box, as I like to think, moving up to the circumference of the circle and viewing back down to the center. And here, by Edward McNall Burns in the America Idea of Mission, his book, his other work, finally was able to find a copy of his other work, and I think he may have written one more, but this was copyright back in 1957 by Rutgers. On page 162, a section, The Gospel of Individualism, we began that yesterday, free enterprise and free competition. Free enterprise and free competition have long been among the sacred cows of American individualists, free enterprise and free competition. They have an ingratiating sound to a people brought up on the ideas of a fair fight and no favors. Let the best man win and the devil take the hindmost. Just a little bit of review here. They've also served as a convenient screen to enable tycoons and buccaneers to pile up their riches under the pretext that they're doing no more than any other individual might do if he possessed the foresight and ability. And go back and visit with the writings of Gustavus Myers, The History of the Great American Fortunes. Much of the trumpeting of free enterprise and free competition has obviously been for such deceptive purposes. Nonetheless, many who have professed the ideals have certainly believed in them with a faith to move mountains. Any idea can be perverted And most good ideas will be perverted, and we almost need to anticipate it and watch for it to happen. But one of these that had enough faith to move mountains was Benjamin Franklin. Though he preferred an agrarian to an industrial society, certainly so did Thomas Jefferson. Though he preferred an agrarian to an industrial society, he thought that all branches of the economy would be better off if the government did no more than protect them. Governments being instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We'll be right back.
Radio online worldwide at oraclebroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the oraclebroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So back once again, looking at the gospel of individualism, free enterprise, and free competition, Edward McNall Burns on his book by the... Let's continue. Most of the statutes, the edicts, and the decrees for regulating, restraining, or promoting trade were either political blunders or jobs obtained by artful men for private advantage under pretense of public good. Benjamin Franklin. Let me just say that again, right? Most of the statutes, edicts, and decrees for regulating, restraining, or promoting trade were either, quote, political blunders or jobs obtained by artful men for private advantage under the pretense of public good. And Council on Foreign Relations comes right to mind. All of these, you know, for hire representatives, your Congress whores and senators, etc., and all the way down to the local level. But, of course, they could never envision at the time the headless fourth branch of government, these administrative branch of government, all these agencies. They had never had that in their minds when they wrote the constitutions for the states and the Fed Union. But again, most of the statutes and edicts and decrees, this is your legal positivism. There's an all-out war raging between the legal positivism. You know, we're talking about the laws of nature and nature's God and the Declaration. Now we're at this new stage. Codified, statutory, regulated, privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. Either political blunders, setting up this new panel, either political blunders or jobs obtained by artful men for private advantage, this be the Interstate Commerce Commission, under the pretense of public good. He wished that commerce between all nations, interstate commerce, of the world were as free as between the counties of England. Those counties, he said, do not ruin one another by trade, neither would the nations. And so if Missouri is a nation and Iowa is a nation, or a state, who would anticipate that we would ruin one another by trade? Neither would the nations. Why would Mexico seek to ruin us by trade? Or Canada? Unlikely. If left to our own devices, I'm quite confident that we could get along exceptionally well. But unfortunately, the Council on Foreign Relations and the globalists and the international banks or gangsters have an entirely different worldview. Although they eventually came to advocate a considerable degree of paternalism, both Madison and Jefferson had theoretical preferences for a policy of laissez-faire and unhampered trade. Jefferson espoused it in his first inaugural when he called for a wise and frugal government which will restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuit of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. All right? Now, of course, contemporary here is St. Simon. On the ground at the same time. Important to understand that. Right? And here's what he's got to say. But for the most part, the doctrine of laissez-faire, stated without reference to underlying moral problems, were eminently acceptable theory for the bourgeois, or the bourgeoisie, the entrepreneurial class. Dropping down, it was St. Simon's new purpose in life to stimulate public spirit among the industrialists in their own interest, despite their apathy. Of course, we're living in a world that is ruled by the captains of finance and industry through their appointed dictators, supported in all that they do by a cadre of super social scientists, which we can see embodied in the beast system known as the United Nations. Dropping down a bit further, educating the public to an appreciation of the values of an industrial society. It was intended, however, as a realistic proposal for the integral unification of the two greatest Western powers, a fusion of two states, which would then become the nucleus of a community of Western Europe and later the whole world. And again, back into the Council on Foreign Relations, this idea of unification. Of course, we have the Unification Church. It never stops, folks. This is something that's been coming on us and at us for a very, very long time. While society was ruled by the rich, he expected the movement of enterprise and capital be so fast that this class would be composed of constantly changing individual members. And so in the past years, we've seen this era of mergers and acquisitions, and certainly those involved in enterprise and capital, captains of finance and industry, their composition is changing so fast, their individual members, so fast, that this class would be composed of constantly changing individuals, though he never went so far as his later disciples in advocating the abolition of inheritance. He did insist on a high degree of social mobility in his society. Under the industrial regime, which will be essentially one of equality, It is not at all desirable that the same family should conserve their wealth for many generations. All men should work, either to enrich their children loyally or to impoverish them honorably. Capital must be kept in a continual state of movement. It was shameful for the industrialist to endure the yoke of phrase makers, the swashbucklers, and the rich idlers. And I'm just giving you some highlights here. The secure Anglo-French industrial society would act as a protector for the industrials of other countries whenever they would have the strength and the enlightenment to effect the transition to a new regime in their own area. Ultimately, the whole globe was destined to adopt the same industrial scientific doctrine and to organize itself in accordance with its principles. Does any of this sound remotely familiar to you? St. Simon's most succinct statement of his ideas, often in epigrammatic ideas, first appeared in the prospectuses, the circulars, and the lithographed letters which ushered in a new publication. He was most successful in jotting down the kernel of an idea, in grasping a whole aspect of social evolution in a phrase, in striking a slogan which ultimately penetrated everywhere on the continent. And so that's kind of like an Ivy Ledbetter Lee thing. There's a great deal of difference between Auguste Comte and Henry St. Simon. Auguste Comte was the program man. He was the system man. I don't know whether you could, whether you would want to bring in Brzezinski and and Kissinger in this or not, but there are always technicians involved in this. The 18th century, he writes, did nothing but destroy. We shall not continue its work. Then, a positive commitment to the idea of social happiness and utility, what we undertake is to lay the foundations for a new construction, to pose and to treat the question of the common interests of men which have thus far, so to speak, been left untouched, to make politics, morals, and philosophy, instead of dwelling forever upon idle, useless contemplations, return at last to their veritable goal, which is the constitution of social happiness. To see it, in a word, that liberty shall no longer be an abstraction, nor society a fiction. This is 1817 we're talking about here. Okay, just jump forward a little bit further. All for Industry, another section. He reduced his theory of a state to a simple formula, to govern as little and as cheaply as possible. Sound familiar? Thomas Jefferson? And he repeated a call for the direct meeting and cooperation of industrialists and scientists without government mediation. Could that be the Council on Foreign Relations? Or its counterparts in England? And cooperation. A call for the direct meeting and cooperation of industrialists and scientists without government mediation. A dominant motif of his preparatory circulars and prospectuses. Government is a necessity, that is to say, a necessary evil. Where did that come from? To flatter his financial supporters, he included in the second volume excerpts from Lafitte on the national budget, Casimir Perrier on government loans, and the opinions of an anonymous merchant. The central theme remained the same, closed and reclosed with new epigrams. Government is a necessity, that is to say, a necessary evil. That science and industry were closely related, illustrating his point with numerous examples of the immediate practical application of chemical discoveries. I'm just jumping ahead. Try and persuade a minister, a state counselor, a prefect, or a university official that public welfare does not need to have them wield great power and to enjoy incomes of 10, 20, 30, 40, or 100,000 francs. You would have to be endowed with extraordinary powers of eloquence to make yourself heard without exciting violent movements of impatience. The men who control industry have no idea, or they have erroneous ones. The men who have ideas own no industries. And so this goes back and harkens to my discussion about the three kinds of people in the world, the thinkers, the loafers, and the doers. We'll be right back.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, microplant powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so, again, we remember synthesis and analysis, you know, St. Simon's proposals here. There's a difference. But we can look at Hegel's idea of the dialectic, you know, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. But if you're going to try and move all of mankind in a certain direction, you know, this is not going to be a light undertaking, and it's not going to be one that's going to be accomplished in anyone's lifetime. And many have dedicated themselves for hundreds of years to its fulfillment. As Rockefeller said, you know, after 500 years, we are finally, or nearly, at a point where the New World Order can emerge. And that's out of a John Birch Society, FTAA, pamphlet that I saw. Quote there, I don't have, that's just a paraphrase. But again, now we're getting into this period of time where St. Simon is growing old. You know, again, he fought in the war for independence here in the colonies, in the States. But we continue. He says, the drafting of a text was left for August Comte. In other words, we saw that he would write out the kernels. He would write out the basics. But he wasn't really a systematizer. He wasn't really a big writer. But the drafting of a text was left for August Comte. Now, we've left out theory, T-H-I-E-R-R-Y, just kind of an over jumping over him. He was important, but he was less important than Comte. as regards St. Simon. The drafting of a text was left for August Comte, but the quarrel between the master and the pupil intervened, and St. Simon was by then too old to undertake the major effort alone. When it was finally written, Comte's own grandiose philosophical structure assimilated St. Simon's philosophy of history to the point where a new independent creation emerged. In the doctrine of St. Simon, the brilliant, succinct series of lectures delivered by his loyal disciples after his death, the development of ideas, despite certain innovations he would have disavowed, more nearly preserves the spirit of the original work of the master. The industry, St. Simon, divided universal history at two crucial points. The first, sometime around the 3rd and the 4th centuries A.D., and the second around the 11th and the 12th, breaks or cutoff dates which resulted in three major divisions. The first had a polytheist ideology, polytheism, and a societal order based on slavery. The second, an ideology called the theological and a feudal system. The ideology of the third, which had not yet been attained to fullness, was a scientific or positive, and its social system was industrial. Each of these three systems or social organizations could be viewed in either its spiritual or temporal aspect. And so what we're seeing here then is the synthesis emerge. Capitalism, communism, a thesis and an antithesis. It comes towards the synthesis, the community again. These were the units, the elements of a science of history. Having isolated these units from the fluidity of historical experience, he could study them as a natural scientist would examine the phenomena of his special discipline. Again, making man and his development the object of a science, not just the heavens, not just the trivium, the quadrivium, but man himself, the object of science, sociology. The first historical system of mankind had already passed through its complete life cycle. The second was on its deathbed, and the third was soon to attain full vigor. We have that vigor today. This is the technotalitarian age, technotalitarianism, if you will, technocracy. As soon as the elements of a new system achieved any strength, it flexed its muscles and proceeded to engage the old system in mortal combat. There's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. Legal positivism, loosely and in the classical sense, being whatever the prince says, Machiavelli or wherever you want to look, whatever the prince says has the force and effect of law. Presidential executive orders, declarations of emergency. There's an emergency because we said there was an emergency and we don't need to justify it. The first historical system of mankind had already passed through its complete life cycle. The second was on its deathbed. The third was soon to attain full vigor. The three cycles did not succeed one another as discrete, self-contained historical entities, but overlap substantially in time, since a new system was born simultaneously with the flowering of the old. As soon as the elements of a new system achieved any strength, it flexed its muscles and proceeded to engage the old system in mortal combat. There was constant change and tension from the maturation point of one system to the maturation point of another. And Mao Zedong was on this like flies on buttered bread. There was constant change and tension. The periods of overlapping between systems, the centuries of transitions between the bloom of two organized civilizations had a temper essentially different from the systems themselves. Intermediary periods, particularly their tail ends, were years of destructive criticism, of violent antagonism between hostile spiritual and temporal forces in society. We see that today, all around us. In recorded history, mankind had already lived through one such age of crisis during the disintegration of the ancient world. In St. Simon's own day, society was in the throes of a similar epoch of transition. Men were now witnessing the last death gasps of the medieval system. Feudalism on its way out. The St. Simonian school later developed a fixed terminology to distinguish between the organized systems and the periods of transition, naming them organic and critical epochs. And as we'll see later here, the Saint Simonians found themselves engaged in a knockdown, dragout, tongue and fang battle with the Rothschilds for supremacy, and I would assume, from what we can see today, that the Saint Simonians lost out all of this idea and program and plan and system to the Rothschild dynasty. The alternative principle, which under the empire had been the crux of his theory of a modern scientific development, was adapted to new purposes in the restoration philosophy of history. Universal history unfolded itself in an alternative of organic and critical epochs as the history of modern science had oscillated between synthetic and analytic periods, remember. Synthesis and analysis. The organized society was assimilated to a synthetic period of science and the critical epoch to an analytical period of science. And there's more. I'll spare you. We'll drop down a little bit. Since the period of transition prior to the birth of the medieval system had been a stormy one, the analogy at first sight seemed to augur ill for the present age. Would the moderns, too, be confronted with a similarly protracted time of troubles? That was his day. How about ours? Will we, too, be confronted with a similarly protracted time of trouble? St. Simon reassured and comforted his contemporaries. They need not sink into despair at the contemplation of the first fall of the Roman Empire. Although the two periods of transition were similar in their general implications, they were concrete historical circumstances which explained the turbulence of the crisis in antiquity. First, those nations which were somewhat enlightened were in a minority in comparison with the peoples who were totally barbarous. And even among the enlightened, the class of men who possessed of the corpus of acquired knowledge was a very small minority. Trivium, quadrivium. The mass of mankind were in a state of gross ignorance. As Christianity made its way westward, it was as though a box had been set down over the mind of people, everyone looking to the future, forgetting all about today. It's a better world coming. Hence, it was impossible to oppose the terrible invasions of the northern barbarians who came pouring over the West precisely during the period of transition, at the very time when the battle of the two systems brought confusion into the ideas of men and anarchy into society. The evils resulting from bad timing of the barbarian invasions had been further aggravated by the character of the ideological conflict in ancient times. The very nature of the two systems which then confronted each other was essentially unfavorable to the possibility of an easy transition. So we're making a transition today. And those master blasters and those super social scientists and those in academia that consult and that sit on every president's board and cabinet, all of those members of the Council on Foreign Relations, like a revolving door that come in and out of the Fed, in and out of all of the banks, in and out of academia, and in and out of the president's cabinets. These are they. These are they that are the philosophers of today, auguring in the positive stage of human development. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow.
One precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it?
and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the medals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting.